This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong. Now, as working professionals, we often tend to prioritize and plan around our work. Most of the time when that happens, we tend to push the rest of our lives aside. I know, for instance, that my Google Calendar is strictly office-related, and I don't tend to take time to just breathe or relax or even think about what I want to do outside of work. So we can't forget that work isn't all there is. Today, I'm here with Samuel Chua, who is the co-founder of a company called Lifetime, to talk about Lifetime, the idea behind which is that Lifetime hosts retreats for people who want to spend time on life stuff, which is the stuff that people tend to ignore or neglect in favor of work and stress. So first of all, thank you so much for speaking to me today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right, let's get straight into it. How did you come up with the concept of Lifetime?
So a bunch of friends and I were catching up as we always do. And, you know, once we get past the small stuff, we tend to just ask about the bigger things in our lives, right? The bigger journeys we're on, you know, like the changes in jobs, maybe like moves to different countries and things like that. We would always find that we wish we had more of these conversations about like the lifestyle that mattered to us, because sometimes it was like a crisis, something big that would actually push us out of that comfort zone, right? Like maybe like the company we were in shut down, or we had to like move because of a relationship, or maybe the end of a relationship, or something like that. And we were like, this is all stuff that's actually having a bigger impact on our lives sometimes than the actual content of our jobs itself, right? If we kind of were to track our progress and growth in our lives, you would find that actually these turning points had a lot more impact. Through all of that, we figured like the same way people talk about work and life balance, we were like, well, almost every time we spent a bit more time digging into our lives and some of those questions, we almost ended up better off. So that's kind of how it became kind of a concept. We all had our own different styles of like exploring some of the life stuff that we had. And we thought, you know, like a lot of our friends are going through similar kinds of questions and challenges too. What if we could actually bring some of it together into an accessible format that could be as easy as just, hey, just come join us for this weekend, right? Because we didn't want to be the people who were like, hey, you should spend more time thinking about your relationship with your dad, right? Because everybody's going to say, sure, but you know, like not everybody just has a chance to get around to do it. So we thought instead of giving advice, could we create an occasion or an opportunity for people to step up and to just participate in something like that? And that was, I guess, where the idea of putting it into a retreat kind of began to take shape.
First of all, it's really important to have what you guys refer to as lifetime. When you don't have a lot of conflicts in your personal life, it can be a lot easier to transition that into your professional life as well. There are so many books and guides and conferences that talk about taking the time to do things, but they never give you, like you said, the opportunity to, the occasion to, right? So this is putting that into practice and giving people a space in which they can actually practice what mm-hmm. has been preached to them. Now, the concept of lifetime asks, how might you design the most meaningful lifetime experience possible? So you guys have three answers to that question. You've got the concept of searching versus solutions, space and scaffolding, and social setting. First of all, love all the alliteration. Makes me very happy.
I try.
So firstly, with searching versus solutions. So the idea behind that, from what I understand, is that everyone puts an emphasis on solutions to their issues, but not the process of searching for those solutions. So people tend to not value the journey over the destination. So why is that important, and what made you guys come to that conclusion?
The simple starting point was that we all had different kinds of solutions on what worked for us. Some of us had found, you know, like the greatest kind of like breakthroughs and learning and discovery from, you know, like practices that help to recenter ourselves on our body and emotions. So tuning into like when I feel that something is not right, or when I have a hunch that I follow. Some of us had, you know, like really been able to like draw a lot of strength and inspiration and meaning from the religious practices that we were part of. Some of us came from like more of, I guess, exposed to like a lot of the new business concepts that go around, right? Empathy, leadership, like communication, so many of these things. And we found that they were applicable as well. When we started to talk about some of our different, I guess, solutions with each other, we realized that just because I use a word like empathy doesn't mean that the person understanding it has the same thing, right? Because they might have encountered empathy in a different sense. And so the meaning of that became really specific to the journey that we were on towards that. And so as we realized that it was the journey, or what we call the search, that was often more impactful than the solutions themselves, right? We also thought about, if you go to a bookstore, 95% of what's out there are basically solutions, right? But, you know, if I go and pick up a book on leadership, I don't have the same journey that the author went through. He might have come from a very different culture. He might have come from a very different kind of background. He might have, you know, like practiced his leadership at a very different time, right? Like businesses 30 years ago versus an organization today, very different. And so we thought, if it's really about learning to like sense make for yourself, instead of saying, here's a solution and design an experience or retreat around that so that you could learn my solution in 3 days, we thought about how do we actually design a retreat that's supporting your search. For the search, we could actually think about what were some of the key steps or prompts that helped us on the search. We're not bringing a lot of finished answers to this retreat, but we are bringing lots of questions that have helped us in our search and our journey, things that maybe have us think about our life and our relationships and our roles in a different way. The word quest comes from the same root as the word question, right? And that's something about like having a good question to start with can really grow you into an answer that's your own and not someone else's.
So what it seems to me is that what's important about the search is that it contextualizes any solution. So it
absolutely, context. Yeah,
there's no one-size-fits-all solution for anyone. And I think in a sense, like, you know, you can say things like, being a good leader is obviously a good solution to, you know, being a better manager and this and this and this and this. But how to get there is going to be different for everyone, like you've said.
So here's another thing that we've noticed, right? When you think about events that organizations would hold for their people, like there's retreats, usually it's leadership retreats, but when it comes to staff or employees, it's like staff training or staff team building, right? And it does make you wonder, why is that? And I think the kinds of skill sets that you need, like on the staff level, right? What's valuable for the company is, oh, the staff work better together. They understand better the standardized, defined processes that they have to execute and follow through with. But when you get to the leadership level, sure, there's some best practices around like how do you communicate effectively? How do you write effectively? How do you set vision? How do you set goals? But once you get past those skills, a lot of it is kind of like self-orientation, right? Like where do you search for meaning? If you look through like biographies of people who've reached a certain level of leadership, what they had was an ability to kind of tap on into a deep inner reservoir of like of meaning or of like orientation or of values that was very much grown through their journey, right? So, you know, like Lee Kuan Yew's formative experiences were during like the World War II when the Japanese came through, and a lot of that he describes as, you know, like helping sustain him over the course of his like long and storied career. And, you know, I could just name so many more stories, but it's funny when you get to a leadership level, the kinds of skills, the kinds of questions you begin to ask begin to require a very different kind of answer. I don't think as a retreat we're trying to say like optimize and say like, oh, we're only for CEOs or people like that. But I do think we try to offer something that goes deep, and that usually, you know, in most organizations, you don't offer to your people until they reach a certain level. We're for a world where like everybody has the opportunity for more lifetime, more opportunities to kind of like spend time really like developing and learning to tap on their own inner resource. But we do believe that like people should have more of a chance to kind of like really grow inwards and grow down versus just growing up.
That leads on very nicely actually to the second answer to the question, which is space and scaffolding. So Lifetime is kind of trying to give people the space in which they can actually apply these questions and ask these questions. And the scaffolding is more of a structure to not an answer, but a beginning of a structure to understand where they could go from here. I think that's quite self-explanatory. And then you've got the last concept, which is of a social setting as well. Again, from what I can understand, that's the idea of that the people around you affect your journey as much as any other factor. Again, how does Lifetime try to establish that?
I'll start with the social setting. One of the things we found is that so the value of having a friend is that you have somebody else who you can kind of be crazy with. If you went into most of your office and your team, in most teams, if you began to talk about things like finding meaning in your life, reflecting on a relationship or things like that, a lot of times you feel like I'm the only one. I'm being a burden on everybody else because this is not the appropriate setting for it. We try to think about what if there was a place where that kind of thing was normal, And it doesn't have to be a permanent place. It could be a pop-up place, right? So we think of lifetime as this kind of like pop-up artificial bubble that allows you to kind of actually take life questions seriously and not be the only one doing it, right? There's something about this belief that happens. And this is how like ecosystems get built, where one crazy entrepreneur kills themselves, but three crazy entrepreneurs feel like, oh, we're not that bad. And like, you know, like 100 crazy entrepreneurs basically say like it's normal to dream big, right? So there's something really powerfully human about like what you can think of as like social normalization, where you rapidly begin to kind of like normalize the kinds of like thinking, the kinds of questions, the kinds of things that you're okay being vulnerable to share.
It's almost like a positive social feedback loop in a sense.
Absolutely.
So if you're surrounded by people who are asking the same questions you are, it will help you to answer those questions as well as help them answer their questions and so on and so forth.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so many of the settings that if you think of all the settings you have in modern life, right? Most families you would think would be nurturing for a lifetime, but in actuality, don't always offer that, right? Like it's, you know, like a lot of times, like especially in Asia, families make it difficult to talk about real stuff because there's always you're trying to protect somebody's like, you know, like maybe sense, or like you don't share stuff that's deep with your family. The workplaces don't always support that. And like friends, it depends on what kind of friends you have and the kinds of backgrounds you've had. And sometimes with friends, you don't want to get too deep because, you know, you still have to see them the day after, right? The kind of setting that felt magical was actually the kind of stranger on the train kind of setting, where you just meet somebody, you have some period of time together. You can both be just like human, but almost like anonymous for a while. And in that moment, you actually get to go somewhere that you couldn't go otherwise. And we were like, well, is there something of that we could bring to a retreat experience that's accessible?
Sort of like a commitment-free emotional vulnerability, sort of, I guess, in a sense. All right, well, it's time for a short break right now. But after that, I'll continue speaking to Samuel Chua about Lifetime's upcoming retreat called Transitions. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Bureaucratic failures multiply. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Raise Your Game. I'm Christine Wong. Before the break, I was speaking to Samuel Chua, who is the co-founder of this concept called Lifetime and the concepts that Lifetime promotes, which is all about focusing on the stuff outside of work, you know, taking the time to think about what life means to you and how to go about that journey. So in line with that, Lifetime hosts retreats where you can come together with like-minded people who want to find the answers to these questions or at least get started doing so. And you guys have an upcoming retreat called Transitions. This is a 4-day, 3-night retreat happening over Labor Day weekend. And the idea behind it is to explore the transitions in your lives. So taking it away from the kind of general, you know, spend lifetime thing and focusing specifically on transitional ideas. And you guys have all these exercises and sessions and such like over the course of that retreat. Now, why did you guys decide to focus on transitions?
So a few months ago, as we were beginning to just think about the idea of like creating retreats for Lifetime, we began just talking with lots of different friends about, you know, like where they were in their lives. And we brought a group of them together actually here in KL. And as we were all sharing about the different kinds of challenges we were facing, you know, like some people were like facing like the company was shutting down. Some people had been in their role for like 3 to 4 years. Some people were going through like some deep personal family stuff and all that. One of the themes that came out strongly was that we all felt a kinship around the idea of transitions, right? That we were all, whether it was personal or professional, that this idea of being in a process of change, maybe not being completely comfortable or secure in like, what's that change going to be like? Will I be the same person after this? Will the things that I currently derive my identity from, will they still exist on the other side? Right. And we realized that so much of life prepares us for how to function well in a role, but not between roles or between stages. And so we thought, you know, maybe the betweenness is something interesting to explore. And the group resonated with that. So that's where it started. And I guess as we began thinking more about it, you know, you could connect it to like people talk about how like everything in the world today is like accelerating. Things are changing quickly. We're looking at like geopolitical situations that might change, and it feels like everything's kind of transitioning a bit more than you know, like maybe it used to. And so we thought like this is actually kind of a useful like I guess like perspective practice that more people could begin to to look at. So we thought, well, you know, it seems, I guess, timely to talk about transitions in this context.
Yeah, I think there have been a lot of shifts happening, and with any kind of change, there's a lot of uncertainty and unknowns, and that can really affect, you know, how you approach life. And it can be very difficult to understand what to do when you have no idea what's happening right now, in a way. So you guys also have these four concepts that you try to apply to your exercises and sessions. You've mm-hmm. got active, contemplative, creative, and conversational. I think, you know, just going into it very briefly, like, yep. that seems, again, to link back to the whole searching versus solution stuff, because those are four quite different ways of approaching thinking about stuff. I quite like that. It seems as though, you know, you're trying to really account for the fact that not everyone is going to arrive at their own solution in the same way with mm-hmm. that.
Yep. So that comes partly from the, you know, we spent quite a bit of lifetime ourselves. A lot of our friends were doing it. But the thing about doing something by yourself is that you tend to default to doing it in the same ways you always do. And when we thought about a retreat, part of the value proposition of a retreat was, how could we create something that would actually pull you out of your comfort zone and do something that you don't normally do, with the hypothesis that, well, maybe if you try a few other things you haven't tried before, you might get a few different perspectives or outcomes that you hadn't received before, right? So there's this kind of, there's this thing in science about how all the best ideas don't come in your office. They come when you're like on a bicycle or like on a bus or like in bed. Right. And we were thinking about, you know, are there different kinds of ways we can engage people to kind of like tap on different sides of themselves? Right. So if someone's been like really thinking about, you know, like hard about like what the next life step is going to be, giving them an extra half a day to do it may not help them very much. But if they're able to kind of instead of just thinking about it themselves, actually just like have somebody listening to them who can reflect it back to them and explore that together, they might get somewhere that they hadn't got to before because of the power of conversation. So we thought that if we had one retreat where we have a whole bunch of different people in different situations coming together, right? Like, let's have a variety of stuff to start with. But also, if somebody finds that they're responding really well to a particular kind of approach or practice, there's totally the freedom for them to begin using more of that, both during the retreat, but also in their life.
Right. And the program is structured as a kind of journey through three concepts, which are deceleration, discovery, and design. Mm-hmm. So why those three concepts? What do they have to do with transitions?
Yep. So there's a couple ways to answer this. I'll just kind of start by describing like what the experience is like. And then if we have some time later, we can talk about the bigger context of it. So the first thing was just, I guess, realizing that sometimes our lives are so noisy and so fast and so busy that even if we had a lot of life questions in us, we just don't hear them, because if the waves, you know, if the surface of the water is so like stormy and wavy, you can't really pick out the deeper patterns. And so we thought, you know, like, well, maybe one of the first things about a retreat is that it's able to slow you down. It's able to like kind of like almost turn the volume control in your life to like zero, to like kind of mute a lot of other things around you. And then you can pick out some of the softer, deeper signals that might have always been there, but that you didn't have the time to discern or like pay attention to before. You know, and it's amazing what, you know, like in 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 3 days of just kind of like sitting with something, not trying to analyze it or solve it, but just kind of sitting, respecting, being with a question or a problem, right, can get you so far. I mean, most of the major traditions have like long histories of like meditation and contemplation for that purpose. And we thought, we don't have 3 years, but like, I think this would be a good way to kind of start and to land. And that's what the first section is about, deceleration. The second part is about discovery primarily through conversation. And by conversation, we don't mean I'm going to tell you my problem and you're going to solve it for me. Right? I think the conversation that we're talking about here is really a much more reflective kind of practice, and reflection in the literal sense where, like, if I describe something I'm going through, you would reflect to me and say, oh, this is what I'm hearing. And from my perspective, it sounds like A, B, C, D, E, right? And through kind of hearing what we're talking about through different people's words, it's actually quite likely you get different perspectives and insights into your own situation. And so we thought that could be a really powerful way to sort of discover different perspectives on ourselves, right? So I might come in and say, oh, my relationship with so-and-so has always been this way. But somebody else might see it slightly differently. And that gives me a new perspective I can install in my toolkit that could actually be really powerful going forward. And so this brings us to kind of the third phase, design. And the idea of this is that, so maybe by this point, I've dug deeper into some of the questions that I've wanted to explore. By speaking to some people around me, I've discovered different ways to think about that. Now, what do I do with that? How do I make it part of the way that I live? Maybe it's a plan, maybe it's a new habit, maybe it's a new thing I pick up, right? How do I take that home? And the idea of design was that the answer shouldn't just be willpower, right? Like how many of us have trouble keeping our resolutions, right? And part of the idea in design is that if we don't ask, all right, I'm going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and agree to do them or commit to do them just based on like wanting to do it, but actually say, what are some creative ways I can begin to think about how this becomes part of my life? Is it about, you know, like changing part of the story I tell myself about some of the relationships I have? Is it about thinking of myself in a different role at work, right? So I am not my job title, but I am actually a person who's growing around this that happens to be in this job for now, right? How does that new perspective begin to come to life? I think part of the heart for us in having that section was to be able to help people really not just say, I know this, therefore I'm going to do this in a linear way, but to really expand like a bunch of different approaches that they had to kind of maximize the chances of them actually doing something with it.
All right. Well, you know, I think all of that sounds really important. And I really believe in that sense of, especially the whole mirroring each other's conversations to each other. I think that is always really important to get a different perspective on your situation. I think when you focus on your own problem by yourself for too long, it becomes this kind of echo chamber where you never get anywhere. And so I quite enjoy that. That's a specific element in the program as well. Unfortunately, it is actually time to wrap up. But thank you so much, Samuel, for speaking to me all about Lifetime as well.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Well, if anyone wants to know more about Lifetime, where can they go?
So our website is Time for Life. It's timefor.life. So ITSTIMEFOR.LIFE. And you can find us there. And we still do have a few spots open for the Transitions Retreat, which is April 28th. And come contact us if you tell us you found us through BFM. You know, like we might have a special deal for you.
Well, I mean, hopefully, you know, even if people don't necessarily go on the retreat, they can take some of these ideas and maybe try to apply that to moments in their lives where they might be able to find some time for Lifetime. So if you have missed any of this interview, please download the BFM app on the Apple App Store or Google Play to listen to and or download our podcasts. This has been Christine Wong. I've been speaking to Samuel Chua about Lifetime. This is Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.